If you want to turn in your Bibles, the scripture today, as you've already heard, is from Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. I'm thankful at all times when I feel strongly the moving of the Holy Spirit. And I hope and pray that each time we're here together, the Holy Spirit is present in a very real way to all of us. But I must say that this morning there's something that's happened just in the time that I've been here that I feel led to share. And somehow or another, I think God's going to use it in the context of the message. I was touched by what Linda shared about a challenge that you've had this week. And I know nothing more than what you shared up here. But I know that it was something that was deep inside of her and something that for her has stirred and maybe even in some ways defined her week. But she took that and turned it into something to acknowledge that God has a plan, and there's reason after reason to acknowledge the blessings that God gives us. And then she said something, as much as that stirred me, when the Spirit pointed at me and said, "Greg, listen," was when she said, "I just had to feel that there are some people here with this number here that are struggling with some why questions today." Linda, because I know Linda, is not one to get up here and want to in any way share something about herself. She's not that type of person. What she did up here today was out of the leading of the Holy Spirit. And I know that there are people today, likewise, that are struggling with why questions, and I may find out, I may never find out. But God is at work, and God wants you to hear something today. And I want you to know that He is a part of what is going to be shared, what He desires, even in my shortcomings, even in my flaws. I ask that He take those, push them aside, and He speak today to whatever your need may be. But then it not just be about the next few minutes, but throughout the rest of the week. Lord, we have come here today, and we come here as the family of God to worship You. And Lord, it is about You, but as we make it about You, we realize that You have invited us to be co-creators with You. And in doing that, we seek to be the people You created us to be, not the people that we desire to be at times, not the people that the world says we should be, but God, we desire to be Your people. So Lord, help us as we come to worship and give everything to You, in doing that, to better understand and accept and receive what that means. This prayer we ask in Your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. The title I gave for the message today is "Hard to Be Humble." So I'm going to ask, how many of you in this room would say you're humble? Raise your hand if you say you're humble. Huh. Now what does that mean? We don't have any humble people here? No, you get it. A humble person doesn't have to talk about being humble. But I want to, I may not even use the word humble a lot initially, but I think in order to understand really what God desires of us, we need to understand in some detail the scripture that Miguel just read for us. The first thing I want to suggest, if you look at the first verse, there's a word "if." And I've said, if you want to follow along with the outline in your bulletin, I said "if" is a big word. Not only is it a big word, it's used four times in this first verse. If. The word "if." If you've got your Bibles, then I don't know that it's the same in every translation, but in the NIV that I'm using, it says, "Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion." And it continues. So what does this "if" word mean? Well, it's not so much about the meaning as it is how it's used. It's kind of an if-then statement. If these things, then this. So where does this put our starting point as being? There are four things And so it begs the question, do we have these things? But it's not just do we have these things, because with the first if statement, it says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ. Not just do you have encouragement, but is it from being united in Christ? And not just with Christ, but us being united with Christ. The body being united in Christ. Do we, because of our unity with Christ, have four things? Do we have encouragement? Do we have comfort from God's love? Do we have connection to each other through God's Spirit? Do we experience tenderness and compassion? Do you? I go back to the why question we asked. How much of your why question could be impacted if this was a prevalent part of your week? So let's continue looking a little bit more, because it's saying not just that we have these things, but we have these because of our unity in Christ. So what does our unity in Christ look like? And I want to suggest today, and there are a lot of different ways to describe, define, preach on, study, read about unity. But today I want to suggest that you can one way of defining unity is through community. And so what is community? I say that community is not just being together, but community is doing life together. One of the big words that we use in church, it's a very much a churchy word, we're going to have us a fellowship. So fellowship is simply hanging out and spending time together. And fellowships are good. We're going to have a fellowship right after this time that we have here. And that fellowship is to go back in the social hall, and we're going to have some coffee and some pastries and maybe some fruit if you're a healthy person. And so that's going to be a part of what we're going to do. And that's a fellowship, and that's a good thing. But fellowship is not the same thing as community. Hopefully, and one of the reasons we do this and we invest in that fellowship time is we want it to lead to community. Community is truly about doing life together, about spending time with each other in a way that we share life, that we get to know each other, we share our excitement, we share our struggles. What do you think it would have been like if you had ended up being on that camping trip that Alice just talked about in her backyard? The more we spend time together, the more we begin to share things like that with each other. Now, I want to be careful. I want you to understand that it's not about getting all up in each other's business, but walking through open doors when invited. Because, you know, there are some Christians that like that. They like getting up all in each other's business. And they do it in the name of Christ. And I'm not so sure Christ wants us to be getting up in everybody's business the way we do sometimes. But what community means, it means that we love and care for each other in a way and spend time together, that there's trust that develops, and there begins to have open doors and invitations that we desire to spend time with each other. And we invite people to be a part of that. And they invite us to be a part of that. And we grow, and community happens. I'll give you some examples, and these are just beginning points. It could be something like sharing a recipe. The reason I say that is because I heard this story. A lady came to me a couple of years ago. She's been in this church a couple of times, but never really an active part of the church. And she said, you know, we just recently moved to Nelson County, and one of the things I yearn for, because we don't really have any family around, and I don't have any like any grandmothers or anything like that that I am close to and spend time with. She said, something I would really love to have is some older women in my life that could teach me things about cooking, that could teach me things about just things that meant a lot to them in days gone by. Because there's a part of me that feels like there's some things I can learn about being a wife and about being a mother. And I can read books, and she was a very scholarly person. She said, I can read books, I can get all that, but I want to experience that with someone who's been through it. I want to grow in that way. She was yearning for community. And it just needed to start by spending some time together, sharing with someone about the life they had had and the lessons they had learned. Maybe it's asking advice about raising children, about parenting. Now again, I go, there are a lot of people that are good about giving advice about children and about parenting that is unsolicited. That is not what I'm talking about. But if you're a parent, there's been a time that you've struggled. And they don't come with instruction manuals. I've looked for them. But when you have a relationship with someone and you know what they've been through, and maybe you see and you look that they've made some great choices with their children and you want to have that conversation and get some insight, or maybe you know they've had struggles and they've been through the exact same struggle that you're facing, and so you're drawn to them because you want to know what they learned from that, how that you might be able to better navigate that. This is beginning to get to what it means to do life together. Maybe it's about getting advice on what kind of paint to use to paint your front porch, because you don't want it to flake off for long, but you don't want to fall down. You don't want to be so slick, so you talk to somebody who you think would know. Maybe it's borrowing a cup of sugar. Maybe it's borrowing a tool to take a wheel off a lawnmower, Race Bobby, because I didn't have a clue what it meant, how I was supposed to get that wheel off, but he showed me. And so when I needed to do it on the other one, because that tire went flat too, all I had to do was ask him for the tool, and he told me where to get it. Helping load a mower on a pickup truck with a person who can't do it by themselves. You know, loading that mower on a pickup truck may not be a big deal, but do you think that's all that's going to happen, is you're going to help load that mower on a pickup truck and go back to whatever you were doing? No. I promise you, I don't care who you are, some type of conversation is going to happen while you're loading that lawnmower. And I don't know what it's going to be about. It may be very surface, it may be deep, but as you spend time like that together, doing life together, and I tell you, loading a lawnmower on a pickup truck is doing life together. Because it leads to community. It leads to opportunities for us to grow. So, what is unity? I believe unity is a natural outflow of community. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. It's part of the word. Community. Unity. Does it make sense that through unity, our community, we would be likely to experience in a different way encouragement, comfort from God's love, connection to each other through God's Spirit, or experience tenderness and compassion? Does it make sense that if we're truly spending that type of community together, these types of things are going to happen? Then we see unity demonstrated among us in a way that's described in today's scripture. This was first like-mindedness. What's like-mindedness? It means we all think alike, right? Like-mindedness. That's what the word says. So, I think probably the Christianese way of saying it is we all think in terms of what God desires. So that means, while there are opinions, we all have the same opinion, right? We're all going to think alike. I mean, that's the simple thing of what like-mindedness says. You know that's not true. Like-mindedness does not mean we look at everything the same, because in our humanness, we see only part of a picture of God's fullness. Yes, we're like-mindedness in that we're seeing things as God sees them, but guess what? God sees more than we see. So we see only a part of the picture that God reveals to us at any given point in time, and we see the part of that picture based on our own gifts, our own personality, and our own perspective. And guess what? Dave Miller's is different than mine. And Patrick Saunders is different than both of ours. And Charles Thompson is even more different than that. And so, you see, we can be of one mind, of like-mindedness, but see things differently. An example of this would be missions. And I have this conversation on a regular basis with people in every church I have been to. And it's about missions. All Baptist churches want to be mission-minded, but there's this thing of and it's in Scripture, it's in Acts, it talks about that we're supposed to share Christ throughout the world, and you start it in the place closest to you and go out. But inevitably, there are some people that say, you know, we need to be
We need to be doing missions at home. We need to be taking care of people here. You know, we don't need to be going off in Africa somewhere doing all that, spending all that money when there are people right here that need to be fed because they're hungry. You ever heard anybody say that? Now, the other side of that is people say, you know, we need to help those people all over the world. You know, yeah, there are people here that need help, and we need to help them, but you know, there are people in Africa. And those people in Africa, God loves them too. And if we don't ever help them, then we aren't understanding the fullness of who God is, and we aren't connecting to their culture, and we aren't being the body of Christ in the full way God calls us to. And you know what Satan would like to happen? He would like to happen and take this idea of serving in missions and these people being so passionate about it that they start arguing with each other. They're looking at the same picture of sharing Christ with others. And it's good that someone is passionate about feeding and taking care of people that are in our backyard, our front yard, in our workplaces. It's exciting that there are people that are passionate about reaching out to people that are in other countries. And so if we are of like mind and we understand that, we come together and we get excited about doing the same thing in different ways, and that passion is a good thing. And we acknowledge the one-mindedness. Not the fact that that one-mindedness is coming from different points of view. The next thing I think it results in is common love. We have mutual love for each other, and the example of missions ties that in. If you have people that are excited about this, we can get excited because of the ones that we love and care about, and because we're doing life together, and because we understand their heart. Even though we may not have the same passion in the same way for everything that person does, guess what? If everybody in here had passion about the same thing, we wouldn't get near as much done. God desires us to be different. It talks over and over in Scripture about why we're different parts of the body. We're to function the way God created us to function, not function the same. But we can still be of one mind. We should be of one mind. Which ties it all together when he continues by saying we're to be of one spirit and one mind. We're to trust the Holy Spirit in leading us toward his plan. There are many things that want to guide and direct how we're going to make choices. There are many things in this world. Our view of success, money, fame. It can be what other people think. There are lots of things that try to lead and guide and direct what we do, but the Holy Spirit is supposed to be what does that. That's how we're to be of one spirit. One spirit and one mind will take us more along the same path and accomplish more than if we try to do it separately. So, nearing the end, unity in Christ leads to some things, according to the Scripture. It leads to selflessness. Unity in Christ leads to humility, valuing of others. Unity in Christ leads to making others' interest a priority over our own. Unity in Christ leads to having the mind of Christ. So I come back to the question we started with, how hard is it to be humble? Humble is not something you can just snap your fingers and decide, I'm going to be humble today. I'm going to be a humble person. It's a change in who we are. And in order to have the humility of Christ, we have to first start with Christ. So I hope that today, we're able to, and we can't all see the big picture, but a general look at the big picture is this, and I want to challenge you with it today, and that's that it starts with Christ. To have unity in Christ, first of all, you have to know who Christ is, and you have to have a relationship with Christ. And if you don't have a relationship with Christ today, I am so thankful that you are here today, and hopefully God's taken whatever words have been shared, and you have been stirred in a way that you're desiring to, you're yearning for that relationship, and I would love to talk to you about that. There are people probably sitting beside of you that would love to talk to you about that, but that's the most important decision you'll ever make in your life, and what we've talked about now, that's got to be the starting point to have that relationship. And you do that by admitting that you're a sinner, that you've struggled, that Jesus Christ died on a cross for your sins and mine, and then he rose again after 3 days to pay the price for that, so we can be in communion with God, not only in eternity, but for now. And then we confess Jesus as our Lord and commit to living our lives daily for him. over and over every day we make that commitment. So if you haven't done that and want to do that, I'd love to talk to you about that today. But that's the first thing. You start with Christ, and then the next thing is we realize that as we do that, when Christ becomes a part of our life, we automatically become a part of a family. You can't accept Christ and not be a part of Christ's family. It doesn't work that way. Read Scripture. We become the body of Christ when we accept Christ. And so we need to act like it, and we need to acknowledge it, and we change, and our lives change. And you know, when that happens, then we begin representing to others who Christ is. And people begin seeing the selflessness. People begin seeing a coming together that they don't often see from the country, from the world that we live in. And then when they're facing some of those why questions and they aren't getting answers anywhere else, they begin asking questions of us, not because of who we are, but because of who God is, and because we're reflecting the humility that we don't have to talk about, but is seen in the way that we live. I'm going to ask our musicians to come. We're going to have an invitation hymn, and as we have that hymn, I invite you to respond. There's not a person in here that God isn't calling to respond today, and for some, it may be responding by coming down this aisle. I would love to pray with you if you want to put a marker in the sand and saying, look, there's a direction I've got to go in. There's something that needs to change. And you want me to be a part of praying with you about that, I'm glad to. But I don't have to. There's an altar here right behind these boxes. But God can see through those boxes, and He can hear your prayers. And if you want to kneel here and pray, the altar is open. And there's value in coming forward and making a stand for Christ right now. You won't forget it. You won't be as likely to push aside. And Satan won't be as likely to make you think that that was just something you got caught up in the moment. But not everybody is going to be called to come forward, but everybody is called to respond. So you take seriously today what God's calling you to do right now. What is God asking of you for the rest of today, for tomorrow, for the next day, for the rest of this week, for changes in relationship in your life, whatever it may be? Acknowledge God's call and response. Let's stand together and sing, Blessed Be the Tide.
Verses.
We go to this fellowship time. We thank you for that time to be together. But I pray that it won't stop with fellowship, that it will encourage us to move into community. And Lord, as we do that, may we realize that we are called to move together as the body of Christ, although we may be in separate places. But we're called to reflect you, your love, your hope, your promise, your presence to so many people in our lives.